3 years, 9 months and 24 days of war, Ukraine is running out of money. EU leaders want to use Russian money held in their banks to bail their neighbours out. Will they? Will they finally sign off on a trade deal this week with South America after over a quarter of a century of talking, despite the objections of farmers, including here? Leaders are meeting at the EU Council in Brussels. Our Europe editor Tony Connolly is there. Morning, Tony. Ukraine, what's the UK's, or what's the EU's rather, plan now?
Well, there's only really one plan on the table, and that is the use of Russian assets. Now, at the October summit, EU leaders gave clear direction that they would fund Ukraine for the next 2 years, and they were asked, they asked the Commission to come up with a number of options. The European Commission did come up with options, and it really boiled down to either using Russian assets or using joint debt, which would be based on what's called headroom in the EU budget. Now, the thing about the Russian assets is that they can get around a Hungarian veto because they're using Article 122, which is essentially an emergency measure at EU treaty level to sidestep any potential veto. But of course, Belgium is still looking for very strong guarantees that it will not be left on the hook because, of course, the bulk of the Russian assets are held in a Belgian securities depository company called Euroclear. Now, there has been a lot of work between the European Commission and the Belgian government on finding ways to try and bring the Belgians on board. Really, the sticking point, I think, is that Belgium wants essentially unlimited guarantees that if there is ever any legal redress that would favour Russia, then Belgium will not be on the hook for the money. And we would be talking about potentially up to 210 billion euro of frozen Russian assets. So the question really is, you know, in these talks that have been going on intensely involving EU ambassadors day after day and the European Commission and the Belgian government, whether they can somehow bridge the gap between what is feasible for the European Union and what will get Belgium on board. Now, there have been other reservations expressed by Italy, Malta, Bulgaria, but the feeling is that if Belgium is happy with the use of Russian assets, then the other countries will come on board.
Does Ukraine have much time for the EU to work this out?
Not at all. The country is going to run out of money by probably the end of the first quarter next year. Now, it's not just about the money for Ukraine. And of course, Volodymyr Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, will be at the summit this morning. So that raises the interpersonal stakes, if you like, with his presence. Ukraine, of course, is facing a military onslaught in the east. They're facing relentless air assaults by Russia hitting critical infrastructure, hitting residential buildings. There is a sense that the Trump administration is prepared to throw Ukraine under the bus. And if the European Union can't agree to a funding mechanism using frozen Russian assets, then you know, that would have a deeply demoralizing impact on the Ukrainian country, the Ukrainian people, and of course the Ukrainian military on the front line, who are still trying to keep the Russians at bay. So so much depends on today's outcome, and it could go into 2 or 3 days, depending on how these negotiations go.
Separately, Tony, thousands of farmers from across Europe are protesting in Brussels today about the very long proposed Mercosur agreement between the EU and South America. Edward Carr is president of the Irish Cooperative Organisation Society. He's going to be joining that protest. Maggie spoke to him earlier.
They're expected to be between 7,000 and 8,000 European farmers altogether, and I suppose they'll be upping in 100 Irish farmers there, showing our solidarity with our European counterparts. Ireland have the presidency of the EU in 6 months' time. This is an issue that he should certainly be coming to the forefront on. And it's not just even from a financial point of view, like I say, from a health and safety point of view too. It's totally unacceptable here. It's undermining the great work that farmers have done in our country. We are proud food producers in Ireland, and that's recognised all over the world. The quality of the food we produce is recognised all over the world. How could any Prime Minister let it be undermined like this by bringing in a product that's not reputable?
That's Edward Carr, president of the Irish Cooperative Organisation Society. Tony Connolly, our Europe editor, still with us. There had been lots of reports that countries that were opposed to Mercosur were softening, Tony, and that in Ireland's case, the extension of a derogation on spreading slurry here could be linked to agreeing to Mercosur. What's happening now?
So the agreement on Mercosur is taken by a weighted majority, what's called a qualified majority vote. Now, the plan was that EU ambassadors would vote on the text this week. This is the text that was essentially agreed last year in principle between the EU and the Mercosur countries. And once that vote took place this week, then Ursula von der Leyen would go to Brazil to finally ratify the EU-Mercosur treaty after, essentially, as you say, 26 years in the making. Now, France has said that it's not the right time. The vote should be delayed. Italy has also expressed reservations about having the vote this week. On the other side of the equation, the Brazilian President Lula da Silva has said he's had it with these delays and extra conditionalities, and he's prepared to walk away from the summit, complaining that the treaty, the trade deal, already favours the EU over the Mercosur countries. So there's a very fine balancing act here as to whether or not the vote will take place this week and what will happen if it doesn't take place, and whether the Mercosur countries themselves will throw in the towel and say they're not going to do this. Now, obviously, farmers have their particular objections and grave reservations about the trade deal. On the other hand, business groups, car manufacturers, pharmaceutical exporters are all desperate for this deal to go ahead. And in a more macro level, the EU wants to show that it can negotiate and agree a big trade deal in an era where the Trump administration is upending global trade. So a lot rides on this. Now, there was a meeting yesterday between the Commission and the European Parliament. Some extra safeguards have been agreed between the Commission and the European Parliament. Whether that's enough to convince both the French and the Italians to drop their reservations and then go ahead to have this vote this week to allow the European Commission President to go to Brazil, that's really still in the balance.
Tony, thank you. That's our Europe editor, Tony Connolly, in Brussels. 20 past seven.
EU leaders are gathering in Brussels for what's been described as one of the most consequential summits in years. The summit will assess the possibility of converting hundreds of billions of euro in immobilised Russian assets into a long-term loan for Ukraine. And the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, has been speaking to reporters in the past few minutes.
There is a strong momentum behind getting a deal on the immobilised assets. And indeed, I will be meeting with my Nordic and Baltic colleagues just now before the main meeting with that in mind. It is very important from the European Union's perspective that a strong, assertive position is taken out of this meeting, and the importance of bringing this to a conclusion today to send a very clear message about Europe's unity on this question, because it's an important issue. And as I said, it's an important deterrence as well, that countries simply cannot invade and destroy another country's infrastructure, kill thousands of people, and that there's no redress or no necessity to have reparations or to pay for the reconstruction of such a country.
And that was Taoiseach Micheál Martin speaking to reporters in Brussels as he gathered with other EU leaders to discuss the immobilised Russian assets. Also on the agenda today will be that Mercosur deal. Now, it's just coming up to 8 minutes to 9.